I believe that he wants us to take him serious, but at the same time that he wants us to have a good time in him. I believe that church should be a place that you come to have a good time. I mean, when you were in the world and in those bars, you raised all kinds of cane. You know, so you can come to church and have a good time. It's all right. You know, it's all right to come to church and have a good time, especially in the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't think of hardly any time at all that I've not had a good time in the Holy Spirit. I mean, he just always comes in, you know, and if you need peace, you know, he'll give you peace. If you need healing, he'll give you healing. I mean, how can you serve God and fulfill Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 without having your body healed, you know?
Amen.
Without having your finances healed, you know? He wants you to have the fullest from him and also be able to present yourselves that he can flow through you and touch others. Become that apple tree for others to pick off of, you know? Well, how many want to pick off of an apple tree that's wearing a frown all the time? You know, if I had that to look at, I don't think I would have ever got saved. If I had that apple tree to look at that wore a frown and didn't have any fruit on the buds, you know. Nobody wants a fruitless apple tree or a fruitless fruit tree of any kind. Hallelujah, Jesus. But I tell you what, through Him, if you'll just begin to turn yourself over to Him, He'll begin to change you and start producing that fruit. You know, they used to tell me when I first got saved, they'd say, you know, because Jesus come in and touched me, and I mean, right away He began to flow through me. I don't really know. You know, I've asked Him several times, why did you come and why did you pour all this out on me? And you know, I about decided this after everything that I've been through and the things that I've seen, is I about decided He's seen a stubborn streak in me about 10 miles wide and thought, well, here's somebody that won't give up no matter what hell throws at them. I about decided that was the reason. But anyhow, he touched me and then things began to happen. But people would say, well, you need to be producing the fruits of the Spirit, you know, and you know, that's first and foremost. But yet when I would ask them, well, how do I do that? Because I'd very much like to do that. I looked them up in the Bible. I didn't know what the fruits of the Spirit were. But I went on ahead and looked them up in the Bible. I thought, well, you know, that's fine. Whatever pleases Jesus, that's what I want to do, you know. And it listed the fruits of the Spirit. And I began to ask them, well, how? You know, I'd like to do this. You know, I'd like to not get angry when somebody crosses me. This one, since then, you know, he's transformed me out of a little bit of it. You know, there's still some things there he's working on. But at that time, you know, they said, well, you need to have the fruits of the Spirit active in your life. Well, how? Tell me how. But they couldn't tell me how. You know why they couldn't tell me how? Because they didn't know how themselves. You know, what they knew is what they stumbled into, you know, bless their hearts. But I know that there's a way through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, that you can walk out of any circumstance that you're in right now. Any place in this life that you don't like what is in your life, you can walk out of it intentionally. You don't have to wait for an accident to happen, to accidentally fall into God. You can intentionally start where you're at and begin to walking into Jesus and walk out of everything that you're in that you don't like. Do you know that His grace is there for those that as much as Him, they want to walk out of a certain sin in their life? You know, bless his heart, Jimmy Swaggart. Man, I believe that someday, I hope that God can use me enough to save the number of souls that He used that man for. I believe that. I'm believing with all my heart that He'll be totally restored in every area. But you know, if you hate something bad in your life, God will walk through hell with you to get that out of your life. That's His grace. That no matter what you have in your life that you don't like, as long as you don't like it, God is going to walk with you through everything until you walk out of it. That's just the God that we serve. You know, that's the way He looks at things. Some people don't look at things that way. You know, they start judging and saying, well, you know, if he wouldn't have cruised the streets, you know, and stuff like that. Do you know if that man hated that sin, which I understand that he did, because I've talked to some that had talked to others that were close to him, that spent the night in rooms next door to him, and he hated that sin. He hated it. You know, it just had that stronghold in the flesh, and we're going to talk about some things like that tonight. I was amazed a little bit about your pastor, about telling you ahead of time about being skinned alive tonight. He was right. But you know, if you hate something that bad that you want it out of your life, God will stay with you all the way. It's when you get to justifying it and taking grace as a little repent pill and deciding that, you know, well, it's by His grace, so I don't have to worry about getting anything out of my life. It's okay for it to stay there. Then the grace is not there for you. It's not there. See, His grace is not there as a little Tylenol for you to go ahead and sin like you know that's wrong and then get up the next morning and take that little pill. That's not His grace. His grace is this, that as long as you hate it and you want it out of your life, He will walk through everything until He walks you out of that you're in, no matter what it is. And you say, well, are you talking about sins of the flesh like lust and adultery and stuff? I'm talking about doubt and unbelief. I'm talking about religion.
Yeah, come on.
I'm talking about religion. I'm talking about doubt and unbelief. I'm talking about unforgiveness. Do you know that you cannot receive anything if you're walking in unforgiveness? See, you're trying to talk to a God. You're trying to go before Him and pray and ask Him for things, and you're walking in unforgiveness, and He's saying, look, what you're saying is that the blood that I shed and that I delivered on the cross was good enough for you, but it's not good enough for that person that you're trying to hold unforgiveness from. See, it doesn't add up. See, God can't bless that. That's one thing in His Word that He cannot bless is unforgiveness. Because He died for you. He gave it all for you. He loved you when you didn't even love Him. He loved you whenever we didn't love Him even one bit or wasn't even thinking about Him. He still loved us. And His grace and mercy was there. And so then you begin to hold unforgiveness against someone and resent this, and then bitterness and all this stuff enters in.
Come on.
And He's saying, now wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wasn't it you that I died for even when you didn't even love me? See, then we go before God and we say, God, would you bless me? Would you touch my finances? Would you touch my family? Well, and then He goes and He says, He brings through the Holy Spirit, He illuminates unforgiveness in your heart and brings it out before you and spreads it out before you, this unforgiveness toward family members or friends or enemies. It doesn't matter what it is. He lays it out there, and we're trying to ask Him for something, but yet this is laid out here. And He brings and shines His light, the Holy Spirit, up on this thing, and we get to make a decision whether we can take that thing, surrender it to the cross, and go on, or whether we're going to continue to justify it. See, God cannot bless anything that you justify. Why surrender before the cross, surrendering to Jesus, surrendering your entire life, every area of it, is so important. And last night, really the message was really along that line. We were talking about working the plan of God in our life and what that took, and basically that was a message to get you started in the right direction that you might take that has been given through the power of the Holy Spirit, begin to walk in it in your life, that you might step after step surrender these things in your life to the Holy Spirit, and He will put them to death, change you, bring you up on high. And when He brings you up on high, He brings you out of those things. And it may be one thing at a time. It may be one step at a time. And we get to determine whether that's going to be in the next 30 days that we start or whether we start today. And you can be walking in total unforgiveness. But if the Holy Spirit comes and He lays it out there and says, you got this unforgiveness there, it's time to surrender that, not justify it. If He brings it out there that you got some wrong doctrine or some false teaching or some religion, and He brings it out there, it's time to surrender it. Because believe me, I know this, that when you surrender something to Him, He gives back His power. You say, well, is that just for preachers? No, that's for believers. You need power in your life. See, you need to be a walking power ball for Jesus. You say, well, I thought the devil had been defeated. He has, but you're here, we're here to enforce His defeat. Yeah. See, I run into some. See, I get to preach to all types. When we're not in churches, we go out and set up independent meetings in cities and hallways. And when they come in Pentecostal, they come in Baptist, they come in Charismatic, they come in Catholic, they come in Lutheran. All different types of cross-section. cross section. See, Jesus doesn't recognize denominations. I'm sorry. Sorry, you know that. I wonder sometimes because I don't get to preach the easy, simple, sugar-coated messages. I have to preach what He tells me to preach. And usually I get to go in and cut up a little bit of doctrine and doubt and unbelief. Sometimes I wonder, I'm thinking, are they calling me the butcher or what? Because when I get done, you know, it's a pitiful mess sometimes. But I know one thing, the Holy Spirit's always there. To take that's been cut away and restore back with the fruits of the Spirit. And to restore back what God has. But He's called you to walk in power. He's not just called preachers in the pulpit to walk in power, but you're here to enforce the defeat of Satan. Satan was already defeated at the cross on every angle, and Jesus turned around and gave us the victory. But guess what? There's scriptures in the Bible that back up what I'm saying right now. In fact, if you would you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5? Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit here tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Praise you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 5. Well, I appreciate that ice water, whoever brought that. Be blessed. Be blessed. Hallelujah, Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 8, he says this. He says, be sober, be vigilant. In other words, be attentive. Be at attention. Be watchful. Be watchful. He says, don't be deceived, basically. Really, when you sum that all up, he's saying don't be deceived. Don't be a fool. Let's just go ahead and put it where the rubber meets the road. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, and he goes on, he talks about who's the adversary. He says, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, he says, your adversary, his name is the devil.
Amen.
The one that in some circles, as I was going to say a while ago, they have a hard time receiving some of these messages because they say, I don't have to talk about the devil and worry about the devil because he's already been defeated. And I'm thinking, and I don't see much fruit or I don't see much power in your life either. So if he's defeated and he has nothing over you, then why aren't you walking in something that would attract my attention? And so he says, your adversary, the devil, he goes about like a roaring lion. He walks about like a roaring lion. It doesn't say he's a lion.
No.
It says that he walks about like a roaring lion, acting like one, seeing if he can convince us that he's a roaring lion.
Yeah.
He walks about, your adversary walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, if there was one thing that I would want to know is what makes me devourable? If he can walk about seeking whom he may devour, there must be something there that makes me devourable. Because it says that he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Meaning this, that he's going to devour some on one occasion, and he's going to devour others on another occasion, and some won't be devourable. He won't devour because he can't. But he says, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. Well, I just don't like you talking about the devil too much. Well, let me tell you this. It seems that the more I go into God, the farther I go into God, the more he wants to tell me about the devil. Now, just maybe if God has a plan for your life, just maybe that Satan has a plan for your life. I can tell you one thing. Satan's plan is this: to steal, kill, and destroy. He will steal from you everything that Jesus has already given at the cross. He will kill you if he gets a chance, and in the process destroy the works of God that would have been done through you. Even if it means you get a trip to heaven, you get to heaven, you did not get to complete the plan of God for your life. See, I've seen people going on the right path, praying and seeking God with all their hearts, spending lots of time in prayer and fasting, and by the way, both of them go together.
Yeah.
Seeking God, praying and fasting, and all of a sudden you don't find them anywhere. And I began to wonder, now what's happening? And then I began to notice this after several years of ministry and people coming along saying, Brother Rogers, I want to help you. I want to help you. I'll be by your side forever. And a week later, I guess God changed his mind. God told him to come help me, but then a week later he changed his mind. I thought, my goodness, if God changes his mind that quick, I may not even be saved. But anyhow, I began to wonder about this, and I began to watch things, and I began to notice a pattern here, that as people began to go into prayer and go into fasting and began to seek God, that something would begin to happen. And usually, a lot of times, unfortunately, they'd end up either backslidden or barely, walking with God, and certainly not trying to go into the ministry anymore. So I began to notice a pattern that this began to develop. And then I've noticed some churches, that they'll just go along there and really be growing, and all of a sudden something will happen. Somebody will step in, split the church, or this or that will happen. Usually it's over the color of the carpet or the dress that the pastor's wife is wearing. Something like that, I've been around a while. You say, hey, you have some illumination or insight? No, I've just been around a while. I've seen these things happen over and over, but it's not by accident. See, things just don't happen. There's always a reason, and it's a spiritual reason. We see the flesh and we see the natural, but it's a spiritual thing. It starts spiritually first and ends up in the natural. And he said, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Meaning this, that there must be something there that makes us devourable. Well, let me tell you this. Satan cannot do anything in your life unless he has something there to grab a hold of and do it with. See, people have wanted to deny this message because then that puts accountability back in your court, back in our court. I include myself. I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself. See, that puts the accountability back on us. If we will say, well, Brother Rogers, it's by grace. Yes. Through the grace of God, everything was delivered to you that you might enforce the defeat of the devil and walk out of everything in your life that you do not like. That's the grace of God. Everything was delivered. We're lacking nothing. He said, everything that the Father has in heaven has been given to me, and I give it to you. Glory to God. Don't that make you feel good? That means you cannot fail. It doesn't matter what area it is. But there must be some reason, because I see Christians over and over the past 13 years since I've been born again and filled with the Spirit. I've seen Christians come and go, and a lot of them started out trying to go for the calling of God in their life and became neutralized, sitting in one spot, not doing anything to God, and barely making it to church on Sundays. So something must be wrong. And see, things just don't happen. But he said, your adversary, the devil, he walks about like a roaring lion, meaning that if he can convince you that he's a lion, he'll convince you that he's a lion. And he'll seek whom is devourable.
Yes, he will.
Well, the first thing I began to ask myself, what makes me devourable? Because I want to know, because I don't want to be devoured by him. And I certainly don't want to be a minister of the gospel that's like a flashing, falling star. You see it and you see a flash across the sky and it disappears and no one even knew that it was there. See, when I leave here and I go to heaven, whether it's on his return or I die and go to heaven at the end of my ministry, I want to have left the mark and see the fruits in heaven, then prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I'm not going to settle for anything less. Don't even try to talk me out of it. I've been through all that. I'm past that now. He has to go at me at a little different angle, like launching all kinds of attacks, and attacking my family. This last round was him going around and attacking my family and people that were close to me, trying to help in the ministry. I asked God a while back, I think it was toward the end of the year, I said, Lord, I said, you could start sending me some people with a little bit of season to them. I know they're out there somewhere. I need some that bless bless their hearts that they have a little bit of season and a little bit of stability. And that was in January. You know, the Lord spoke to me and said, that man's supposed to be helping you, but you're not going to say anything. I said, okay. I learned to kind of, most of the time, listen to him and obey him. Whatever he says to do, I try to do it. Well, at the same time, he was talking to David. But David, he waited 2 months to respond. So he finally got in the perfect will of God. Who cares? Anyhow, he's here now. But I asked God, I said, I want some steady people. I want some people that have a little bit of seasoning to them, you know, that have been around the block a time or two. And I think that he answered the prayer whenever he sent David and Cindy. I really believe that. I feel blessed. I feel blessed because he's asked me if I would take on more and more in the country of Peru. One morning I woke up after doing some miracle services there, woke up to the Spirit of the Lord talking to me, and he said, if I give you Peru, will you take it? I said, well, Lord, you know me. I said, you know, if you're going to give me something and you supply the means to do it with, I'll do whatever you say. I got back and I asked my pastor, I said, you know, am I being, you know, prideful or anything when I say this and when I tell you what the Lord has spoken to me? And he said, no. He said, actually, you're being outright humble because of the attitude and motive of heart. See, I really wasn't wanting a country. Just, you know, a meeting here and there. Not a whole country. You know. But I began to notice this, a trend and a pattern that the enemy has no new tricks. And I began to ask the Lord, I want to know what makes me devourable. I want to know what makes everyone devourable. And let me tell you, the answer is always in the Word of God. In verse 9, it says this. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith. Knowing this, that steadfast in the faith, that you're going to have faith in God. You're going to have a dependency in God. It can't be a dependency on man or organization. Although, you know, the men that's been placed around you and the callings in the body of Christ are there for your equipping and for your edification. But you're going to have a dependency on God at some point. If you're going to meet the enemy and keep him a defeated foe and not become devourable to his plan, because he does have a plan for you, just like Jesus does. He has a plan for your life. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy everything around you. And I began to notice this, that people would go into prayer, and they would go into prayer and fasting and make some steps into God and start becoming a little bit powerful on their own personal walk. And all of a sudden, they would get neutral or destroyed, and they couldn't even think at times, and they certainly didn't want to pray. I began to notice this. I began to notice that this was a trend, something that kept continually happening to person after person. And I began to ask the Lord. And he said, first of all, he said, they have to have a dependency on me. They have to have a dependency on me, full dependency upon me. He said, it's required of you to have a full dependency upon me. It doesn't matter what area it is. In the past, you've depended on others. You've depended on a business. You've depended on a job, an occupation. Now comes a time that not only will I use that job or occupation, but the dependency and the source has to be me. So he says to resist him steadfast in the faith. So at some point, you're going to have the faith to stand when the enemy comes seeking whom he may devour, when he comes to your house. Now, when he comes to your house, it may be cancer. When he comes to somebody else's house, it may be their finances. When he comes to another one's house, it may be their family, causing divorce and division and strife and all this stuff. But he's going to come seeking. He guarantees it. He didn't say, if the devil comes seeking whom he may devour. He said, he will come seeking whom he may devour. Yeah. The question you've got to ask yourself tonight, am I devourable?
Yeah.
Am I devourable? If he comes to my house, am I devourable? Now, we're not talking about ministry here. We're talking about surviving onslaughts of the enemy, walking through them in victory that Jesus has already given you. Don't wait for the victory. He already gave the victory. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
But he says, your adversary, the enemy, comes seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, first of all. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing this. He goes on, and I just want to say this. He goes on and says, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. In other words, it's not going to make any difference what your circumstances are or where you're at. There's others with the same circumstances. There's others with the same thing that's happening to them. We get to thinking, we come before God, oh God, I got a special problem. It's not special. It's your problem that you're confronted with at that point. But believe me, there's others with the same problem. There's others with the same attack. There's others with the same circumstances. But he says to resist him, steadfast in the faith. So you're going to have to walk and settle this in your own life. He says to resist him. Resist him and stand steadfast in the faith. You've got to settle this issue with yourself. If you've not settled it, you'll have to come to that point just like I had to. You serve a faith God. Hebrews 11:6 pretty well says it. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He who comes to God must believe that He's who He says He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so then these come to me and they say, how do I get more faith in God in my life? Well, if you read the rest of the Scripture, He'll tell you He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You want more faith? Seek the author and the finisher of your faith. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. You want more faith? Just seek Him. It's simple. We started seeking Him last night on that little trip in Romans that we took. Now tonight we're jerking the mask off of the enemy that tries to come and deceive. He's not actually who he thinks he is or who he's got you convinced that he is. It says that your adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. What makes you devourable? Well, I'm going to answer that question because I believe this. I believe that not only did God point out something, but He provided a way and an answer to each thing that we ask Him. And if you'll back up to verse 6. Well, let's just start with that. Yeah, verse 6 is fine. Before verse 6, it said, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. One of the first things you're going to have to decide to do is surrender yourself enough to begin to humble yourself under the hand of God. That means putting all your dependency upon God. Now, there's things that you can do to work the plan of God in your life, but all they do is activate the grace of God in your life. Fasting, praying in the Holy Spirit, reading, confessing, meditating on the Word of God. Those are things that begin to move you in the position to activate and release the grace of God in your life that you can walk out of where you're at into anywhere in God that you want. See, you're not restrained by anything. God is saying, come on, come on. We're the ones that's holding back. See, God's not the one that's stuck. You got to settle this within yourself. He provided everything. He already done it all. We're the ones that get to walk into Him and go after what's been given to us. Why shortchange yourself? Just because you want to pray and you don't want to do anything else in the Word of God, why shortchange yourself? You know, I've got some preachers around me that all they want to do is confess the Word. Confessing the Word is good, but why would you want to shortchange yourself? Why not fast a little bit and kill a little bit of flesh? Why not skin yourself a little bit and fast? You know? And then I got others, you know, they'll pray, but they won't fast or meditate the Word. Why shortchange yourself? Why not take on the fullness of God? See, you're supposed to be walking into the image. We're supposed to be walking into the image of Christ. It's supposed to be projected from us. Everything in our life should ooze Christ. But he says, your adversary, the enemy, goes about seeking whom he may devour. So I want to know what makes me devourable. First thing I got to do is remember that I've got to humble myself before God because He is God and He'll accept no other idols above Him. You cannot keep going on and putting things above God. I see Christians. I'm not even talking about unsaved people right now. I'm talking about Christians putting the things of the world before the things of God. I mean, they'll let any little thing keep them from a miracle service or something like that they can get blessed in. They'll even even let visiting friends and relatives. Luke 14 covers that. One thing my wife, you know, she had to learn is from me, I tell you, before I was born again, if I'd done anything in business or anything else, I was just sold out. I just gave everything into it. Well, when I got born again, that carried over to God. I just wanted all of Him. I wasn't going to settle for anything less. You couldn't stop me. You know, it didn't matter what. Well, you know, if the relatives that wouldn't listen to the Word of God came to visit and I had to go to a meeting, I didn't let that stop me, you know. I just went on. I wanted to be in God. You know, I wanted them to follow along with me. But if they wouldn't, was I going to let the devil or the world stop me through them? No. But see, He'll take anything that He can and work on you and begin to pull you back or pull you down, especially when you begin to want to humble yourself and go into God full strength. You make that decision even tonight that you're going to go into God to the fullness of God with all your might that's in you. And I'll tell you one thing, when you get out the door, the devil's got a plan to take that out of your life.
Amen.
Get ready, be warned. You say, are you prophesying? No. Just experience. But He says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. It says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Exalt you over what? What is it in your life that you need exalted above? Do you have cancer in your body? Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Begin to go into God. All of your full dependency and your whole life upon God, He will exalt you above that cancer in due time.
Amen.
It says to resist Him steadfast in the faith, meaning that it may not happen just overnight. But know this, that your God is well able and big enough, and if you resist the devil and stand steadfast in faith, full dependency upon God, He's going to exalt you above that thing in due time. If it's your finances, stay steadfast in Him. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, get ready for correction. Something wasn't right to begin with. So when you begin to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, what you're saying is, God, I realize that I'm not exactly who I thought I was. And when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and surrender to Him, expect Him to shine the light of the Holy Spirit upon some things in your life that He might, just might, want you to change. So, well, no, I know you're thinking I'm perfect. But let me tell you this. God wants to do a work in you. He wants to use you even more than He has in the past. And somebody's really needing to hear this message tonight. But I tell you this, that God wants to use you even more than He's used you in the past. But you have got to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He can begin that change and take you into the fullness of Him, because that's His desire for your life. Of Him, the image of Christ coming out in your life. But He says, your adversary, the devil, he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, seeking whom he may take the plan of God out of the life, or stop them from serving God to the fullest, or even cause them to go back into the world, or to become lost again. So, well, you don't believe in once saved, always saved? No, I really don't. I don't see that in the Word of God. I see this, that it's hard to get unsaved, but that you can manage to do it if you deny Him enough. And I know that crosses some doctrines up a little bit, but let me tell you this. I just say this. Don't take any chances. Don't take any chances. Serve God with all your might. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And He says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And it goes on and says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, what is it that makes you devourable? Anything that you exalt above God, if you take on the care of this world, the care of the family, the care of finances, the care of disease, the care of this, the care of that, you have become devourable.
Yeah.
He says, your adversary, your enemy, the devil, he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If you turn upon the cares and take on the cares instead of taking Jesus' yoke upon you, and you turn to the cares and say, these cares that I take on are more important, and you begin to exalt them above God, God cannot do anything about it, and that's what makes you devourable. You have got to come into that place that you resist Him steadfast in the faith and begin to turn your cares upon Him. He said in Matthew, He said, take on my yoke, it is light.
Yes, it is.
He said, put your yoke up on me, take on my yoke, it is light, and enter into this rest. And He was talking about the Sabbath, which wasn't Sunday. He was talking about entering into the salvation. And these preachers that are talking right now about the Jubilee, my goodness, when you got born again, you entered into the Jubilee. My goodness, just began to enter into His rest and all dependency upon Him, because His yoke is light. You say, well, that's good to say, Brother Rogers, but how do you do it? I mean, you're probably like my pastor said one time. He said, my goodness, he said, I was wrapped up in cares so much, he said, that I would go to the altar and roll my cares over on the Lord, and said, my cares must have drove a Jaguar, because by the time I got back home in my Volkswagen, my cares were there to meet me. And I know I felt like that sometimes. But I tell you what, I've got an answer for you. His name's the Holy Spirit. His name's the Holy Spirit. See, we want to become undevourable. We want to get into that place of rest and peace. And what I began to notice was this, that I began to, the long hours of praying in the Holy Spirit, and I don't preach this too much. I feel like I can preach this in this church because of where it's at in prayer and fasting. I believe that the enemy has come in here and tried to divide this thing and take it apart. I believe that it was on the verge more than once of a full-blown revival. That's what I believe. See, you can have revival out here in the middle of Bald Hill. You don't have to be in a city somewhere the size of Tulsa to have revival. You can have revival right here. You say, well, why do you say that? Because they've done it in the past. We've got examples before us. But see, I believe that the devil has a plan for this church. He has a plan for this body. He has a plan for each individual in here to destroy them, to find whatever's in their life that makes them devourable. You know, some of them, you know, they get devoured later on. Some of the big ministers in the past have been devoured later on in life and in their ministry by riches. They let the deceitfulness of riches come in. The enemy came in, found that was the way to devour them in their life. See, he can only devour you or take you out if you have something there for him to take a hold of. See, you have the Holy Spirit, part of your redemptive plan to carry you on and present you blameless before Christ. You have the Holy Spirit there to declare the things that Jesus has given you. You have the Holy Spirit there, the transformer. He'll change you if you don't like your life bad enough. He'll change you. He'll help you put to death those things in your life. And there's been some in the past, they've been devoured by riches. Then there's some that got the high ministry status and they got devoured by women. And then there was others, they got devoured by rich women. So either way, if he can find anything, he's going to find it. He'll devour you in poverty if he can. See, let's not just talk about deceitfulness of riches. But when you talk about deceitfulness of riches, you get in some churches and they just hoop and holler, you know. But then if you go on and you talk about poverty, that you can't serve Jesus these days without at least having finances to do it with, then they get all hushed up.
Amen.
See, the devil has a plan for every angle. He has no new tricks. But let me tell you this, don't shortchange him. He's been studying you for thousands of years. He knows what makes us tick. And he'll go after anything in your life that he can destroy you with. You've got to know your enemy.
Amen.
You can't sit by and say, well, he's a defeated foe. I don't have to worry about him.
Amen.
That's not what Jesus said.
No.
He said, I came that you might have life and life abundantly, but Satan comes that he might steal, kill, and destroy. And then he began to talk to him through the power of the Holy Spirit. He began to talk about him through Peter. He said, be sober, be vigilant. That doesn't sound like a dumb devil to me.
Wow.
He said, says, be sober, be vigilant, that your adversary, the devil, walks about seeking if you have cares that he might come into your life and begin to devour you. In other words, that you turn to those cares and turn to their dependency and focusing on them instead of submitting yourself under the hand of God that you might be exalted in due season. See, I don't want to be devourable. If there's anything in my life that's not faith in God, I want to turn it over to Him. That's what He's talking about, is your full dependency upon God, turning yourself over to God. Well, how do you do that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the Word of God. Meditation, confession of the Word, fasting, worship. Do you know that worship will carry you through the worst times? Now, worship doesn't transform you. Worship doesn't transform you. Worship, when you get in the presence of God and begin to worship, it'll carry you through those bad times. If you're going through some bad times and you can't even feel like praying, and believe me, I've been there, and I've counseled others that have prayed and fasted and come to that place that they hit an impasse in their life, a ceiling on their life. They couldn't go any farther into God. They didn't even feel like praying. They didn't want to talk about God. I've counseled those. And what you can begin to do is begin to worship God in that time, and that will carry you through that onslaught of the enemy, that ceiling in your life, that will carry you through and get you to the point where you're back praying again and less chance of you being neutralized and taken out by that rat that comes along trying to devour you. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, can you begin to put to death those things in your life through fasting? Romans 12, 1 says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies unto death, but yet still live. See, in that first verse, he's talking about prayer and fasting. In the second verse, he's talking about worship, confession, meditation of the Word, changing, renewing your mind, renewing yourself to the image of Christ, the Word of God. And when you begin to pray in other tongues, it says this, that he who prays in an unknown tongue prays down the mysteries of God into your life. What is the mysteries of God? The mind of Christ. Everything Christ is to you, through you, and in you. It's what you're praying down. Every part of Christ, every part of that image of Christ for your life, that is what you're praying down. If you want to know the plan of God, begin to go into the Holy Spirit. There is one person, the third person of the Godhead, that can take you into the perfect plan of God for your life. His name's the Holy Spirit. He knows every detail. Why not turn to Him? Begin to offer yourself to Him and say, I want your perfect plan in my life. Begin to pray in other tongues. Let the Holy Spirit come and reveal things upon time, and exalt you above those things in your life that you don't like. Exalt you above that place in your life that you know you're not supposed to be there, that you're supposed to be farther than God. Why not turn yourself over to the Transformer, the third person of the Godhead? I'm not talking about a one-time experience speaking in tongues. I'm talking about a way of life. I'm not talking about coming to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I'm talking about a way of life.
Amen.
Pick me up and take me Sunday morning, so I have a reason that I didn't complete the plan that you had for me. Your wife is not going to stand with you, men, before Jesus and answer why you didn't serve God. You got to stand before Him. I got to stand before Him.
Amen.
And women.
Amen. Yeah.
And women. Yeah. Your husband's not going to stand before Christ and hold your hand.
Amen.
We each have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We can take it to the extent that we want to take it. It's our decision. You can have all of God or just a little bit of Him. But let me tell you this, the more things that you exalt above Him, the more devourable you become by Satan.
Amen.
Now, I tell you, I don't want to wind this down, but I want you to go to another place. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Have you been scammed tonight? I feel like I have. Hallelujah, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 6, it says in verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, and he's not talking to preachers, by the way.
Amen.
I mean, there was preachers in the group, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't like he was singling out fivefold ministry and saying, finally, brethren. He was talking to believers, men and women and children. He was talking to all of them. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You know, the world is tired of seeing powerless preachers. He said, well, how do you know that? Well, why do people turn to psychics on TV and stuff like that? They want to see the power. They want to see the manifestation of power. So if the church can't provide it, they'll go seeking it somewhere else. See, we talk about a powerful God, but not many are ready to stop and let the power of God flow through them. He said, well, I don't think you're talking to me because I'm not called to preach. He said, finally, brethren. He said, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, meaning that finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord, just what it says. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, meaning that there ain't no excuses. Romans 12:1. Saying that it's attainable, that what He said for you to do was attainable, that there wasn't any excuses. See, we come up with a lot of excuses. I got relatives. My relatives won't let me. My husband won't let me. My wife won't let me. My kids won't let me. My hangnail won't let me. See, we got plenty of excuses. But he said, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then he goes on and he even talks about what keeps you from being devourable. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Do you know what the wiles of the devil means? When you break that down, it means simply this. It means that he has wiles, he has a plan that continually drips and drips like a drip on a rock till it wears out a hole in the rock on a waterfall. He continually, constantly, through his methodical plan, in other words, that he's not a dumb devil after all, he has a plan for your life, a methodical plan that he continually bombards you day after day after day after day, seeing if he can find something that makes you devourable. That's his plan. Now, he may go away for a while, but believe me, he'll come back with a new plan that constantly puts pressure on you to see if you're going to break. First of all, put the pressure on see if you're going to break away from Jesus. And if he can't do that, then he'll come and see if he can put enough pressure, enough cares on you that it'll make you devourable through disease or something like that. See, I tell people, if you're sick, the first thing you need to do is forgive. Because what you're doing is you're taking on the care of what somebody done to you, exalting it above God, and making yourself devourable. So the first thing you got to do is forgive. Forgive even if you don't even know whether you need to forgive. Just forgive. I don't care how big it was, Brother Rogers, you don't know how bad it was. I mean, they done this to me, they done that to me. I mean, I've heard all of them, folks. And there is not anything that he didn't die for. There is not anything that the blood wasn't shed for. There is not anything worth keeping and holding that opens the door for the devil to come in and devour your life. It's not worth it. Forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. He says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against these methodical, penetrative type wiles of the devil. These things that the devil just keeps coming. See, the devil, he is dumb in a way. He thinks that he's got all the time in the world to just go ahead and just stay steadily on you. He's convinced that he has all the time, so he'll put the pressure on, just keep it constant. It may be to the mind. It may be trying to break down your peace, break down your emotions, destroy your reasonings. Usually the first thing that happens when people begin to go into prayer real strong, as individuals go into prayer and fasting real strong, the first thing he does is come and try to destroy the reasonings. I talk to them over the phone or in person. They don't know which way's up. Because the enemy has come in against their mind. Believe me, if he came in against your mind, began to try to destroy your reasoning and you not know which way's up, it's because it was there to begin with. It was there to begin. Just settle it. It was there to begin with.
Right.
Well, I thought that I became a new man whenever I got born again. You did, but you've got to be transformed out of all those 50 years of things that you've been bombarded with in your mind. The TV. Other people that don't know nothing. See, he cannot devour you or destroy your reasoning, destroy your emotions, unless there was something there to begin with for him to have a handle on and do it with. But I got good news, because he has the solutions. God has the solutions. If the devil has a plan to destroy you, God has a plan to give you life everlasting and be able to walk into the fullness of what he's called you to do and everything that he's given you. You don't have to be shortchanged. But he says, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, he said, put on the whole armor of God. He didn't say, wait till the devil comes and put on the armor of God. He said, put on the whole armor of God before the devil gets here. In other words, do it in advance. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. In other words, it won't do any good to slap her. It won't do any good to punch him out.
Amen.
For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Some of you can relate. I don't know, Pastor. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age. Principalities, meaning an assignment over a country. Principality. Against powers. Against areas, an assignment against areas, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, over cities, the strong man. The strong man that watches over and makes sure that Bald Hill doesn't go into revival. That's his job, to make sure that Bald Hill doesn't receive revival that was given 2,000 years ago. That's his assignment. Rulers of this darkness of this age, that if he sees things getting out of hand, then he turns to things and sends more devils to try to divide the church.
Amen.
Try to use somebody to divide the church. He can only do with what he has to do with. And then this next thing, spiritual wickedness in high place, in heavenly places. That means low level, you know, type devils. Bitterness, envy, jealousy, strife, division, unforgiveness, color of the carpet, color of the past. Pastor's wife's dress. I don't like the way the board is handling things. I'm going to take some people and go start my own church. See, the devil can only work if there's something there to work with. Spiritual wickedness in high places, those low-level devils, those things that are assigned to us to come to us and see if they might devour us or to devour this church, this body. And then if that won't work, that's low-level stuff. Now, if that won't work, then that strong man is sent. And his job is if this place is on the edge of revival, he can't let that get out of hand. If he lets that get out of hand, this whole area, this whole county, two or three counties wide, might be saved and born again, walking with God, turn off their TVs and end up praying all night. If he let that happen, see, just as God has a plan, Satan has a plan over every country, every area, every city, every body, every individual. It's his war machine that it's talking about. There in Ephesians 6, he has a plan to devour you, to devour this body, to devour this country if he can. I'm believing that he's not going to succeed. But I'm just unveiling to you the things that you don't know where come from at times. You think, well, it just happened, you know. Don't you think, Brother Rogers, that some things just happened? No! No, they just don't happen. Satan has a design. He will kill you. Don't underestimate him. He will take you out. He'll convince you that tongues are of the devil.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank
He'll take one of the tools that God gave, that heavenly language that He gave to get across the plan of God, everything Christ is in you, to you, and through you. He'll send the devil to convince you that that's not of God. When I used to hear that they say, you know, because one of my Baptist friends, I got several Baptist friends, and one of them came to me one time and said, those tongues are of the devil. I thought, my goodness, I've been in a lot of bars before I got saved, played that country music, all that stuff. I never heard anybody speak in other tongues. Never. I've been in a lot of bars all over the state of Oklahoma, Kansas, Arkansas, Texas. I never once heard anybody speak in tongues. Even them musicians that was full of the devil and played those good drinking songs, I never heard them speak in tongues. I'm sorry, I just never heard it. If it was there, no, it never manifested. But He has this plan over every body, every person, every area. Yeah, He'll even take a body that was built on prayer and fasting and praying in revival, and all of a sudden get them to the point where they're so religious that you can't even get a smile out of them when you walk in your church. It's called Methodist. I told you sometimes I think they call me the butcher. See, I preach to everybody. I preach to all denominations in my meetings, and I love them all. It don't matter what your denomination is, I love you. But I tell you right now, God called me to preach the pureness of the Word of God, not to compromise, not to water it down, and that's just what I'm doing. I hope I picked the right place. I've had some that never invited me back, bless their hearts. That's okay, though. My goodness, I still got God's Word in there. You know, the Word of God will not return void. It doesn't matter where you preach it, where you plant the seed, it'll grow.
Amen.
But Satan has a plan. He has a plan for each person's life in this building. He has a plan for this body as a whole. He has a plan for this area. He has a plan for this country. He has a plan for this world, and to destroy as many people, keep them from getting saved as he can. Thinks he has all the time, but he's a little deceived in that area because his time is growing short.
Amen.
Therefore, take up the whole armor of God in verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all to stand. Now, he said this. He said, therefore, take up, because of this plan that Satan has, because of this war machine that he has, your adversary is, you know, you might as well get ready. If you're going to give yourself to God, you're going to have a war.
Yeah.
You know, and your job is here is to enforce the defeat of Satan. But he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand that evil day. He said, take up this whole armor of God before your evil day. Well, what's your evil day? Your evil day might be when cancer comes and hits your body. Maybe it's when you have a heart attack. Maybe it's when you were walking in finances that were plenty, and all of a sudden you don't have those finances anymore and you're financially bankrupt. Maybe it's when divorce enters your family and tries to split your family up and destroy another generation of kids and turn them away from God to the things of the world. Maybe that's your evil day. What is your evil day? This is one thing he says. He says, put on the whole armor of God before your evil day. That whenever your evil day comes, he didn't say that maybe, sir, that it'll come. He says it will. When your evil day comes, he says, be ready when your evil day comes. For Satan has this war machine, and he'll neutralize your ministry. He'll destroy the church. He'll do anything he can. Believe me, things just don't happen. He says, put on the whole armor of God. And I don't have time tonight. In fact, I feel him closing real quick. I've heard these little sermons more than once about putting on the armor of God, you know. Stand up in the morning and put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Gird your loins about truth, you know. You know, see it come on. I'm thinking, what do I do at night? Do I go to bed with this stuff on or what? It just never fit. I heard several sermons that just never fit. One of these days, maybe I can do this. Maybe I can teach you a little bit more about the armor of God. But I'll tell you this. The armor of God is walking into Him. Walking in salvation. Walking in the Spirit of truth. Put away all lying, brethren. Well, we'll stop right there online. We won't take that any farther. My pastor one time, he preached to this group. It's a nation I'm Muslim. Well, no, I'm not going to do it. Anyhow, it was okay until he got to preaching against lying. Then they never invited him back. Put away all lying, brother. Put that old man away. See, that's the job of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit, He's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit can only do what we allow Him to do. And that's what submitting yourself under the hand of God is about. That when the Holy Spirit comes in there and wants to show you things that might need change in your life, that you're willing to say, okay, Holy Spirit, I can't do it in my own power, but I can do it in what Jesus provided. And you begin to submit yourself under the hand of God for change. But He won't make you do it. You have to make the decision. You can make the decision tonight to forgive. You can make the decision tonight to walk out of where you're at. You get to make the decision. He'll never force you. That's the Holy Spirit. He'll never force you, but He'll help you every step of the way because He's known as the helper.